Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Talking Penguins. Jason, how are you?
I'm great, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing well. And as luck would have it, I'm sure you were at the news conference last night after the game, but there was one question to Sully that didn't air, Jason, and we have it here on tape. We actually taped it, and well, here it goes. I'm sure you'll be interested to hear it. Mike, Joe Starkey here. I had one additional question for you after everything else. Do you consider Jason Mackey to be the finest beat writer who ever lived?
No.
Sorry, Jace.
Joe and Ron, Matt Vetzel and I are driving to Philly right now for the Stadium Series game, and we're listening to your show, and we were listening to the opening segment, and we both thought that was tremendous. So great work.
Is the ride to Philly a little better than the ride home from New Jersey the other night?
Oh, Ron, it was. I don't want to complain about it because you guys have been doing this a hell of a lot longer than I have, but that was that sucked. 10 hours in the snow, in the rain. If I don't have to do that again in a while, I won't.
Yeah, but at least you got to see David Putty, and I know you're a Seinfeld aficionado. That would have made my whole night to be able to see him out there.
I agree, Ron, and I just wanted to go up to him and say, like, yep, got to support the team. You know, I just wanted to do Putty lines with him. I didn't want to see him. Well, I mean, it was cool seeing him on the ice, but and they did it right too. You know, they did the video, and he played to the character, and I felt for you, Ron. You were trying to get Joe and Bob Grove to talk about it. Grove never even heard of him.
Broke my heart, you know.
Hey, Jason. Mind listening to it, too.
Watching those Penguins last night probably broke a lot of people's hearts around here. I don't know how you felt. Again, this is twice now they played San Jose, and it looks like men against boys to me. They're so much better the team, at least they looked these two games, than the Penguins. Would you agree?
I would agree with you, and these two games certainly. But, you know, when I look at last night's game and I look at the Penguins, I mean, yes, they were outclassed by San Jose. They weren't close. But to me, the greater issue here is how late we're getting toward the regular season. You know, we're basically at the trade deadline. I wouldn't look at Saturday's game to evaluate much. And what are the Penguins? They can be really good one night, but they can also be terrible the next night. There's just not any consistency there. And you know, if I'm Mike Sullivan, I'm starting to rip my hair out, which I think he is. If I'm Jim Rutherford, I don't know which way is up because I don't know whether I should take pieces away or add pieces. This team is just sending a bunch of mixed signals. And, you know, it's got to be maddening to be those guys. I think it's maddening to be in the room right now because guys aren't producing who should be producing. And it's just sort of confounding. I mean, yes, they laid an egg last night. They weren't good against San Jose the last time. But this has happened against far lesser teams, too.
Well, I saw your tweet from last night. Kessel, no goals in 11 games. Hornquist, no points in 14. Simone, 3 goals in 36 games. Pearson, 1 goal in 15. Obviously, Kessel and Hornquist concern me more than the other two, although I'm not quite sure why either's still in the lineup. What in the world are you going to do with Kessel and Hornquist to get them going?
You know, the one thing I haven't figured out, Ron, is why Hornquist has not been given a spot next or given a chance next to Sidney Crosby. I mean, that's the one card I feel like you can play here. You know, I was actually encouraged by Kessel. I know that kind of sounds crazy because he still looked a little discombobulated last night, but I do think he was actually trying to shoot the puck, and I think things will turn for him once he starts to shoot the puck and stops, you know, making plays like he did around the net on that one. It was like a drop pass, but Hornquist just needs to be with people who are going to put the puck on the net. He needs to be with somebody who's going to give him a spark. And if I was Mike Sullivan, I don't know why, you know, you have Brian Rust leave with an injury. It's like put on a platter for you to try Patrick Hornquist in that spot. And here we go. Old faithful Dominic Simone gets promoted up to that top line. I just don't understand it.
Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette. Yeah, I don't understand a lot of it either. Teddy Bluger is one thing I just don't understand, and I don't want to make him out to be, you know, the second coming of Mario. But why isn't he playing?
That's a great question, and I don't think it's a fair grading scale right now for young Teddy Bluger. And to a point, I understand where Sullivan's coming from. I mean, he wants to challenge a young player, and he's going to hold him to probably a different standard than maybe he would a veteran. But you know, Teddy Bluger has what, 3 goals in 8 games, 9 games, something like that. I mean, that's as many as Dominic Simone has in, again, 35. He's produced. He's produced in a bottom six capacity. He right now, meaning Teddy Bluger, is more of what the Penguins need, too. They don't need a winger to come up and play top 6 minutes. Theoretically, you have Gensel doing that. Zach Aston-Reese has been good. Brian Rust has been good. You want to keep Kessel in that spot. They don't need a top six wing. They need a bottom six wing. And with Bukestad and McCann in the mix, and Matt Cullen is not coming out of the lineup, I know some people are sort of crying for it. You need a guy in the bottom six to give you a little bit of something there. Teddy Bluger did, and he gets taken out of the lineup. I don't understand it other than, you know, I know how much Mike Sullivan likes Dominic Simone, and they're also paying Tanner Pearson a lot of money. I think those two decisions, you know, squeeze Teddy Bluger out of a spot, unfortunately.
Jason, I heard the explanation for not playing Matt Murray last night. I don't buy it for 1 second. I want him playing against a really quality opponent. I'd have brought him back tomorrow night. Are they confident in Matt Murray at this point? What do you think? Do you buy the explanation?
I don't buy it either, Ron. The only way I would kind of be okay with it is if they're trying to, you know, I know they're, one, trying to preserve Matt Murray a little bit, but also maybe tick him off a little bit. Maybe have him play Saturday in Philly with a little bit of an edge. But all of that said, I still would have gone with Murray last night. And I think there's this, like, overarching concern with the Penguins and Matt Murray about his workload, or we don't want to use him too much, or we don't want him to get hurt. Now is the point where you need him to play. You're barely in a playoff spot. I think, you know, defensively and goaltending, I mean, they haven't been great. And Matt Murray gives them the best chance to win a game, especially when it's a team like the Sharks. And I don't understand why, when you have one of the best opponents in the league coming into your building, you don't go with your number one. Working your number one goaltender Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then Tuesday again, that's not an exorbitant workload. Maybe you don't do it in October, November, and December, but in February, when you're barely hanging on to a playoff spot, you have to, in my opinion.
I agree with that. Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette. Jason, you know Jim Rutherford as well as anybody in the media around here. It's hard for me to believe that he watched that game last night and came away from it saying to himself, you know what, I'll live with it. Sort of, you know, we got new pieces here. I'm going to wait for them to get settled in. I'm going to keep my team on the floor here. The Jim Rutherford I know is itching to make changes coming off that game and the way they've been playing, quite frankly, even when they've been winning. This team never dominates anybody except for maybe a period here and there. How about the Jim Rutherford you know?
I feel like, and you bring up a lot of good points there, Joe, but I feel like Jim Rutherford is that scene in like a cartoon, right? Like he's got, you know, the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other, and like both are telling him things. You know, the one saying, like, stay prudent, Jim. You don't need to trade anybody. You've already made 72 trades this season. Like, put the phone down. And then the other one saying, you know, what the heck is this team? What are they doing? The Capitals just got Hagelin. The Blue Jackets get Matthew Shane. Like, you need to stay in the race. And I honestly, guys, don't know which one is going to win. I know that Jim's going to stay active because he always does. He's going to, you know, stay in the mix and take phone calls and make phone calls and whatever. And, you know, I do think he's going to do something. I just think the X factor here is how big that is. And I think you can make an argument for him to look at last night and make a significant trade. And I think you could look at how they played previously in winning 4 of 5 and say, look, this team just needs some time to figure it out. It'll be interesting to see which one it is.
What did you make at the end? What happened at the end of the game? Was Sid ending up wailing away a little bit and Sullivan getting thrown out, then Malkin getting thrown out? What did you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't ever want to see Sid throwing punches like that, because I know that, you know, in the middle of this season for him, all it takes is one the wrong way and, you know, he breaks a hand and then they're really screwed. I don't like that. It goes back to you know, maybe the loss of Jamie Oleksiak or the loss of Ryan Reeves. Like, every time I see something like that, I wish the Penguins had a guy who could just step into that stuff and end it. I mean, who are they going to come at you with on the ice that's going to spark any fear whatsoever? Like, is Jared McCann, and, you know, I like Jared McCann, is he going to go into that scrum and just start tossing bodies? You know, I understand why Sid's doing it. He might be their toughest player. And, you know, it's whatever. I mean, Gino getting thrown out, Sullivan getting thrown out. I don't read too much into that, but I think the Penguins are frustrated. I think they wanted to sort of push back against San Jose and Evander Kane for looking at their whiteboard or whatever the heck he was doing, but, you know, way too little, way too late, in my opinion.
Jason, it looked like you got an exclusive with Phil Kessel after the game. Was that the case, and what did you read into his body language and his words?
Yeah, that was weird. It wasn't exclusive. It was, you know, me talking one-on-one with Phil last night, and, you know, the crowd just went to Sid, and Phil was sitting there, and I've never had a more pleasant interview with Phil Kessel. It was weird. He was, like, accommodating. I said, Phil, you talking tonight? He said, yeah, what do you need? You know, and I asked him, and he's just, like, sort of smiling and shaking his head. And not, like, smiling, laughing. It's just, like, sort of throwing his hands up in the air. What the heck can I do? And I think he said that in one of his quotes there, you know, admitting that he's passing up too many shots and, you know, that's an issue. Patrick Hornquist admitted it earlier in the day, whenever your confidence is shaken and you don't know which way is up and you're passing when you should shoot and you're shooting when you should pass. And, you know, I do get the sense after talking to Phil that he's genuinely bothered by this. And I think he knows that a lot of people are asking questions about what's going on with him and what's wrong and why he's not producing. I think he's asking those questions of himself too. But I just thought, you know, his demeanor was very accountable. And I don't know if maybe that's the perception of Phil that's out there, but I was very shocked and impressed by that. He stood up and, you know, faced some music, whatever you want to call it, and answered everything directly.
You think anybody's calling about Phil Kessel before Monday, and you think Jim Rutherford is making any calls on Phil Kessel?
I don't know if Jim's making any calls, and I don't think anybody is calling him. But where I think this stands is sort of back to the place that I thought it, though I knew that it stood in the summer, where, you know, Rutherford wasn't actively trying to get rid of Phil, but if somebody called him, he wasn't hanging up the phone. And I think, you know, maybe a couple weeks before, you know, before Phil has undergone this recent slump and whatever, and the Penguins were clicking, there was no way in the world they would trade Phil Kessel. But right now, the state of this team and Phil not scoring, and I think there's sort of a realization around this team that he may be nearing his expiration date in Pittsburgh. And please don't interpret that to believe that they're just unhappy with him, because they're not. But I think there comes a time where good business sort of trumps a player, and we may be flirting with that. And so I say all that to say, if Rutherford did get a phone call on Kessel, and I don't think he's getting a ton, I think he would listen. I think he would be open to it in the right situation. But I also think he's very cognizant of, you know, how that would be received both inside and outside the room.
I want to ask you, Jason, about the outdoor game here with the weather and everything tomorrow. But first, what were your thoughts on Carl Hagelin going to, of all teams, the Washington Capitals?
I know, right, Ron? Oh, it's going to be weird to see him in that sweater. I know that much. But, you know, if I'm Brian McClellan, the Capitals GM, boy, am I happy about that move. I think the Capitals got better. I don't think they gave up a lot. Financially, it makes a lot of sense for them. I think he can absolutely be a threat on their penalty kill. I mean, we know what he's done in the playoffs before. We know what type of person he is. And that's, you know, Penguins fans probably don't want to hear this, but I've been in the Capitals room quite a bit. And that's a very cohesive, upbeat, you know, tight room. I don't think you win the Stanley Cup without getting there. And Hagelin's only going to help that. You know, he's got a fellow Swede there in Nicholas Backstrom, and just a good culture around them. You know, it's a great move for the Capitals, probably not so much for the Blue Jackets, Islanders, Penguins, and Hurricanes.
Jason, I'm not even looking forward to this game tomorrow night. I personally believe these outdoor games, they've been so overdone that the novelty's worn off. And now I hear the weather, potential rain tomorrow. There's even talk they'll move it back to Sunday afternoon. What are you hearing?
Yeah, same thing, Ron. Same thing. It looks terrible. You know, I don't want to name the player, but I had a conversation with a player yesterday saying, you know, if we even play this thing tomorrow, and even in, you know, there's a third contingency plan to play it Monday at Wells Fargo Center inside, which would be just a total train wreck. But
geez, what are they doing with these things?
It's idiotic. And One of my problems with it, and I have a lot of problems with these things, just like Ron does, and you do too, Joe, but why not start it in the middle of the day Saturday? It's my understanding that that might be your only clean time, your only dry, you know, sort of atmosphere to play this game. But
all the games should be held in Buffalo, Jason. All these outdoor games should be held in Buffalo.
Man, I'm all for more Buffalo, believe me, and less Philadelphia for sure. But, I mean, to Ron's original point, and I agree with it, there's just been too many. They overdid it, and now it's just become a nuisance. And I also think it's stupid that you're doing them now, like a couple days before the trade deadline where the Penguins need to make real determinations about their team, and the Flyers are, like, trying to climb back in it. You need to go outside and play this, like, you know, fictional, basically, exhibition game that has 2 points on the line. I don't like that.
And where there's nothing attractive about the environment. I mean, I keep forgetting the name of the arena. Nobody cares.
Yeah, but I mean, you'll get that anywhere you play in Philly. You know, it's Lincoln Financial Field for anybody who's thinking about coming out here. And if you are, you know, turn around.
All right, Jason, where do we go from here? I had a bunch of questions. Well, Jack Johnson didn't exactly bathe himself in glory the day after Jim Rutherford went to the mat for him, right?
Oh, how ironic was that, huh, Joe? And I saw Pony tweeted something about that too, like blame the media or whatever. And yeah, it was not a great showing for Jack Johnson. Although, you know, to try to go back to what Rutherford said in his comments to me and Josh Daly talked to him, Jonathan Bumble, we talked to him, and he kind of said the same thing to all of us. But, like, I understand why Jim is defending Jack Johnson. And I don't think Jack Johnson has been nearly as bad as a lot of the fan base makes him out to be. But please do not put this on the media. There has not been a critical word written about this guy. The question that was asked in that press conference that Jim cited, and Josh asked it, it was completely fair. It was worded appropriately. I put this in my story. It was respectful. It's a question that has to be asked by any media member in our situation. It's not the media construction.
Nobody here has written, in the mainstream media that I know of has written a critical column of Jack Johnson. In fact, there's at least one site that throws him a bouquet of roses every single week.
I know. I'm aware. And, you know, I know what reality says here. And it's not, Jack Johnson isn't the worst hockey player to ever skate in a game. He's also not as great as I think the Penguins want to believe. The truth is somewhere in the middle. But last night was not a good showing for him. Although after a slow start, I've been fine with Jack Johnson. I'd play him, and I'd play him on my third pair. It scares me him being on the first or second pair.
More likely to be flipped at the trade deadline, in every sense of the word flipped, because you just got him, basically, and now you would trade him. Tanner Pearson or Bukestad?
I think Pearson is probably more likely, just because you have other guys that can do that stuff. You know, what does Tanner Pearson really offer that's that much of an upgrade over anybody they have? I think Nick Bukestad can actually be a pretty good offensive player, maybe help them down the middle. I know that the salary is a little bit more for Bukestad, but I think he's worth it. I guess the only, you know, caveat here is that Tanner Pearson is probably a less attractive option. But if I had to pick one of the two, I'd take Pearson.
Thank you, Jason. Say goodbye and hello to Jeff Hathorn.
Safe travels. Safe travels.
Thank you. Yes, Jeff did a great job asking Sully a perfectly worded and professional question last
no.
night. Sully didn't want to talk about it, but Joe did a good job.
No.
Jeff did a good job.
No.
Thank you, Jason.
Safe travels. You, Jason. Goodbye.
Hey, take care, guys. Thanks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.